It's time for Supply Chain Now. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia. Heard around the world, Supply Chain Now spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. And now, here are your hosts.
Hey, good afternoon. Scott Luton and Greg White with you here on Supply Chain Now. Welcome to today's show. Greg, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's been a big day of production here, right? And we've got an old friend joining us. I say old friend, like a week old, but but it's good to have him back.
We've got a home run show that we'll wrap up production today on. We've got two business and technology leaders doing big things, massive things in supply chain, and we're going to dive into the background, dive into what they're doing today and where they're headed. So stay tuned for how we're going to be working hard to raise your supply chain leadership IQ. Yeah. All right, so quick programming note before we get started. Greg, if folks enjoyed today's episode, what kind of advice would typically give them?
It's a tough question, Scott. Let me think about that a little bit. I would say go to YouTube or supplychainnowradio.com or wherever they get their podcasts from.
That's right.
Not subscribe. Necessarily in that order. See how I changed up the order there?
I do. Subscribe so you don't miss a single thing, including conversations like today, where we're going to be featuring, let's go ahead and bring in our featured guest, Tim Judge, President and CEO of Agilytics. Tim, good afternoon.
How you doing, guys? Thanks for having me. Appreciate
Welcome back.
It.
Great to have you back. We love our repeat guests, and you were a hit. You and Shannon were a hit on the live stream, so great to have you. And also, Nate Endicott, Senior Vice President, Global Sales and Alliances with our friends at RateLinks. Nate, how you doing?
Good, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us. New guys here, so take it easy on him.
Well, hey, we while Nate is new to the show, RateLinks is not. We really enjoyed featuring Shannon on a couple of past shows, including last week's live stream, working and rubbing elbows with Corey and the whole team at RateLinks. And Nate, your ears have been burning because we have heard a lot of things related to all the big things you're doing out in the marketplace. So great to have you here.
Yeah.
And looking forward to learning firsthand. All right. So for starters, and we want to dive into who you are first and where you're from and an anecdote or two about your upbringing. So let's start with you, Nate. Nate, tell us, where'd you grow up? And you got to give us the goods on your upbringing a little bit.
The goods. Well, I grew up in Southern California, in Cypress, actually. So grew up right by the beach. I think I still have sand in places that sand doesn't belong, behind the ears and everywhere else. But I grew up as a sponger as a kid, so I used to boogie board Tuesdays and Thursday mornings, even during high school. Years we'd go out about 6 miles from Huntington Beach, and grew up playing baseball in South Orange County and had an awesome upbringing. My dad was a music producer in L.A., so why not? It's either L.A. or, I think, Nashville, right? But I grew up in Southern California. Actually grew up a couple doors down from Tiger Woods, so that's the famous claim to fame with Tiger. The only two golf lessons I ever had in my life were with Earl at the Navy course, and so we grew up, had a fun upbringing in SoCal, and spent a lot of time in the Midwest. Grandparents had a farm out there, so I kind of got the best of the Midwest in the winter and then got the heck out of there and enjoyed the beach all year round.
Wow.
You were like Ren on Footloose.
Right?
Right?
Absolutely.
So
that's cool, man.
I've got so many follow-up questions, Greg.
Hit it. You better hit it before I do, yeah.
So for starters, what type of music did your father produce mostly?
Yeah, so he was a Christian, contemporary Christian music producer. Spent a lot of time in L.A. and obviously everywhere, but mostly it was writing string arrangements for, you know, guys like Amy Grant and BB&T Winans and Steve Curtis Chapman, but kind of the contemporary Christian artists. And then obviously that pulled him into doing a lot of different type. And then he was an executive vice president for a company called Maranatha Music down in Southern California, who produced a lot of the Christian artists and Christian music that is still being played, you know, throughout the globe today.
Well, Well, those four that you mentioned are four of my favorites. Stephen Curtis Chapman,
right?
I don't think ever gets enough attention in particular. Yeah, definitely. All right. So much, that could be a whole episode. All right. Baseball, you mentioned. What position?
Let's go back a step before baseball. Do you think you can explain to us, Nate, why the lessons from Earl stuck with Tiger but not you?
Right. I don't know. I think I did beat him a few times. But no, yeah, exactly. I think Earl
might have gotten a few more, right?
You know what? He spent a lot more time behind a tree. Earl would take us out to the Navy course, and he would basically dump a bucket of balls and would tell us, you know, until you can get in three behind this tree, you know, we're not going anywhere. And it was like, wow. It wasn't like, hey, let's work on your mechanics. It was forget mechanics. It's all about, you know, risk. And I think that ties great to even what we do today in business and helping organizations out. But it definitely shaped. I love, you know, I'm a good four, you know, scrambler player. That's for sure.
I bet. That's awesome. That's a great lesson, man. Yeah.
Huge. All right. Final question for you, Nate, is baseball. What position did you play?
Yeah, played up the middle, short and second. Closed a little in high school. Just they wanted a little mix of strong arm. But played up the middle and then went on and played at Long Beach State. Got drafted, wow. Played, you know, 18, 24 months, and then decided that the family man that I was very hard to live out in the baseball world. So quickly.
Who drafted you?
Red Sox and then the Braves out of high school.
So where'd you wind up playing?
AA with the Red Sox. And
where was that then?
Back then it was, I want to say.
Pawtucket,
yeah.
Yeah. Man.
Nate, I had no idea. Now, that's not fair in all the pre-show prep to hide some of this stuff. Some of this baseball and golf and music. It's fascinating.
So AA is really glorious for anyone who doesn't know. That's $11,000 a year.
Right.
An apartment over a garage and bologna sandwiches for a living.
Yeah, with no mayonnaise.
Right.
Sign me up.
Man, you are earning your keep. I appreciate that's awesome.
Yeah, good stuff.
Well, Nate, looking forward to dive more into your role with Rate Links here momentarily. But we also want to get to know Tim Judge a lot better. Tim, we didn't get a chance too much with the live stream to really dive into your background. So we're going to do that today, all right? So, Tim, where are you from? And share a couple things about your upbringing. You know, you got to give us the goods there, too.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. So I'm a Long Island, New York native. Grew up in Merrick, Long Island, or AKA where Amy Fisher's from, or Ben and Jerry as well, Lindsay Lohan. So we have a long history of interesting people. I grew up near the beach, right? So boogie boarding, some surfing, you know, growing up, you know, so close to the beach is a thing I miss, and being down in Atlanta, great upbringing, you know, great parents. My little sister just had a baby last week, so first time uncle.
Congratulations.
Thanks. So she and the baby are doing great. You know, COVID's been interesting, going through big life changes like that, as I'm sure you guys can attest. Mm-hmm. You know, for Nate in baseball and golf, for me it was basketball. So I was up at on the courts at, you know, about 4 a.m., 5 a.m. every day playing. Shooting was my thing. I wasn't the best dribbler. I was fast and I could shoot. So three pointers, and foul shots were my deal.
Hey, did your range start when you stepped on the court?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I got in trouble many a game for that as well, of where that range was. Yeah, it was very, very exciting. Ended up going to Georgia, coming down here for Georgia Tech. I've stayed in Atlanta ever since. And, you know, music is probably, you know, he mentioned I've been in, it's been a little bit a while, but growing up, been in rock bands, play guitar, you know, so been in and out of different bands my whole life. You know, from a music perspective. I also DJed in college as well. Spent two summers in Ibiza Spain, DJing in front of some big crowds and the like. Those days are a little far from here, far from now, but
in a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways. So I'm trying to figure out how to.
What's your DJ name, Tim?
Oh God, I had a lot. DJ Loki is probably the one that I use the most.
You watch. Somebody's
Googling it right now.
Yeah,
that's right. Hey, sorry, man. Did you play basketball at Georgia Tech?
No, intramural at Tech. Yeah, I could have played potentially, but no, I didn't. Georgia Tech Division I was way better than I could compete with.
Greg, I very, very reluctantly want to pass the baton to you to dive into their professional journey. These are very interesting from a personal standpoint.
You know, what I think is important that we've learned here is, and you two should both know this, is that we are putting together a supply chain gang band.
Oh, awesome.
So we always need musicians. We've got Mike from Tosca. No, I'm sorry.
Ryan, I can't name all the
Brian. We've got a drummer anyway.
Do you know Steve Hopper by any chance?
Yes.
Yeah, he sounds familiar.
He's got a band of some supply chain guys, and he plays drums. So it made me think of him.
We need to book them for a live stream.
Yep. Yes, and we need some production help too.
Yes.
And some deal making help down there, Nate. Yeah. So
good stuff.
Yeah, and even two lessons from Earl is more than I got. So I'm sure I can learn a lot. All right. I'm sorry, guys. Let's look. We know you guys are professionals. At times we're professionals. So let's talk a little bit about that. After you guys got done DJing and surfing, eventually you had to get a job. So Tim, let's start with you and tell us a little bit about your professional journey and, you know, how you came to be where you're at, and maybe, you know, kind of like a eureka moment or a pivotal moment or a particular mentor that meant something that meant something meaningful to you.
Absolutely. I appreciate the question, Greg. So I came down, I had no idea what, you know, I knew I was good at math and engineering sounded like something that was good for people that were analytical. I started in computer engineering or electrical engineering and took a lot of CS classes and realized quickly that wasn't for me. I didn't have the attention span. I had roommates that can code for 24 hours a day and absolutely loved it. And I have nothing but respect for those individuals. Realized very, very quickly that wasn't for me. So switched to kind of the industrial and system engineering side. And I had some really good professors that I think were definitely mentors, both as an undergrad and IE, as well as for my MBA at Georgia Tech as well, that kind of, shed light on statistics in innovative ways. I had Dr. Jane Ammons, who was I had for three statistics classes, as an undergraduate, that was really, really good and she taught some supply chain too and made it kind of fun and interesting why it's important. So that was kind of always in the back of my mind. And then some great professors, in my MBA as well, that kind of gave me that a little bit more of that entrepreneurial spirit and what it's like to start a company. Greg, I know you can attest to that. Business plan competitions and, not only how to design the perfect product, but maybe just as importantly, how do you market that product or service, to get people excited and the like. So a lot of that was new to me at the time. So a lot of great mentors there. And then when I graduated from Tech as an undergrad, I started at a company, which is a small kind of knit group in Binings called Geocom TMS. And I worked with, gentlemen, Chris Russell and Robert Cleese and a lot of supply chain guys. And it was really neat because you would have the CEO and director of marketing and, VP of, solutions and your VP of sales all within 10, feet of each other. And I'm a 22-year-old kid, just starting his career, getting to, mentored by, people in supply chain that have been there for 30 years. And not only that, but in different areas, right? and get a little bit of everything. So they ended up being sold to Red Prairie, then became JDA, now Blue Yonder. I ended up going, because I was involved in a lot of the pre-sales and demoing activity, ended up going to work at Manhattan Associates, which is the largest end of my career. It was about 7 years, so predominantly in their warehouse management product. You probably heard of their Manhattan's WMS. So I got involved in that. My first project was for FEMA right before Hurricane Katrina. So I could probably, talk your ear off about some of the stories from that project alone. But I really understood the importance of supply chain then, and you know what happens if we don't get products like water and meals to hurricane victims. And even though it had absolutely nothing to do with our software, working with teams and government to be able to track packages and stuff like that was really cool. So kind of stepped into supply chain, and then 7 years later went and got my MBA. I worked at supply chain consulting company for 3 years in Vista. Kind of led director in their supply chain solutions practice. So big implementations. It also, I love Manhattan, but being, working for a software vendor is different than, kind of in the consultancy side of things and what you can do with customers. Just the nature of it was a good experience. And then I've also done a couple startups in between and things like cognitive computing and neural networking. It was kind of ahead of its time. And what I learned from that is just how important timing is to your entrepreneurial suits, right? Even having a great idea that everybody needs, if it's not quite at the right time, it's still like an uphill battle. And then 6 years ago, I started Agilytics, and we're really, really kind of, I think, a unique culture. Just had four new college hires start this morning as they start awesome. Their career.
Congrats.
Thanks. I appreciate
it's
that.
It's tough to find good talent these days, and to find four and hire four, that's a great win.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it, Scott. And, and I think in this current climate and environment, to be able to do that, we feel very, very fortunate, right? As I kind of said, maybe a little bit attested to on the last call is very fortunate that a lot of companies out there are struggling, as you mentioned, struggling to find talent, struggling to pivot and change their business practices with the, with everything going on with COVID. So definitely fortunate and kind of rolling with the punches a little bit.
That's outstanding. I'm interested from all of that. Seems like you've had quite a few kind of pivotal moments, but I mean, does one in particular stand out as something that really changed your perspective or shifted your direction?
Yeah, it's interesting because they don't always line up with what you think would be. I'll tell you real quick. I was at I was doing, and you guys, everyone on this call, I think, can attest, is a really, really difficult. Hey, I've been up, I worked 120 hours this week. It's 3 a.m. I'm at a distribution center. We can't ship product, right? It's 3 days from Christmas. Everybody is absolutely exhausted and irritable. And like, why did we get into technology? Why is this so complicated? And there was a warehouse manager that I was working with, and we're trying to roll out, different reports so we can kind of see what's going on. And there's this huge backlog of work and fill rates down and everything. And he's like, we spent millions of dollars on these software solutions. Why can't I manage my warehouse effectively? Why is this so difficult? And I didn't have a good answer for him. I said, you're right. It shouldn't be that difficult. And that was kind of the pivotal moment where I'm like, you know what? There's so much opportunity in technology and just quality people out there that it doesn't need to be that difficult, And I didn't have an answer at that time. I don't know that I have a full answer now, but that was kind of the pivotal moment to say, yeah, absolutely. Like, technologies is moving so fast, and how do I connect that technology? Or technologies and people to solve business problems so that we can, you know, manage our transportation and our warehousing and our ordering, and it doesn't need to be that tough.
I might have been that guy, except in a different place. So.
Oh, I thought you meant the warehouse manager. Like, you look familiar.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, kid. Maybe before your time, but a company that I worked for in Phoenix was one of the first to implement PKMS from Manhattan. And frankly, a bit of a pivotal moment for me too, because it took so much consulting and it took so much fidgeting is what I called it at the time. And I just thought there has to be an easier way to do this. And there is, and a lot of companies like you guys have gotten to that point. And we talked to a lot of companies that have frankly changed the paradigm for how people integrate technology. So yeah. I think that's a really valuable pivotal moment, if that's what you want to call it. Yeah. That the, why isn't it much easier?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it exposed to Greg, you know, Greg, just the importance of data, right? So you can have the best technology in the world, but if you said it on the last one, right? Garbage in, garbage out. If you have the, you know, you don't have the right data and you don't, you know, configure it right, you could have a great system, right? But it's taking a look at, you know, the importance of the data and are we getting out of the system what we expect to get to be able to make decisions, right? And what I found is a lot of the transactional systems are great at capturing information, right? I'm scan this pallet, it'll tell me to put it away. But taking a step back is, what does that mean? How are we performing? How many, you know, staff should I bring in today? You know, how am I meeting our customer demands? It's not.
Yeah, what do I use it
what
for?
Do I use
what
it
are
for?
Using the data for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's incredibly powerful. That's where bridge solutions that take that data and turn it into something valuable become so critical, especially in this day and age when you have to be so, oh my gosh, I almost said agile, but I guess I should, really. Yeah, I mean, you do, yeah. Right? I mean,
you
have to be resilient, you have to be agile, you have to be responsive. So.
Absolutely.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. You know, that's just, it's great to hear how people come up because it helps us understand the perspective that you have on the world and how you approach it, right, as a founder.
Yep.
All right, Nate, top that, right?
Yeah, to me, coming out of playing ball, I mean, I had to figure out, you know, hey, what am I going to do with my life? When I sat down for college, they asked, I wanted to be an architect, and I love drawing and, you know, design, and I sat down and the administration people that in the admissions office for the baseball team, they sat me down and said, hey, what do you want to do? And I told them, and they said, well, where's your portfolio? And I just laughed. I'm like, what are you talking about? A portfolio? I mean, I have a bat and a glove. What do you mean? I have like golf clubs in the back of my trunk. And so right on the spot, I said, hey, the tutor for the baseball team nudged me and he said, just say communications. So I said, okay, I'll do communications. So that's really, I mean, you know, my bent, just the way I'm a big believer in, you can't put in what God left out, and you got to stay focused on your gift sets and leverage your strengths. You still work on your weaknesses, but coming out of, you know, playing ball, I had to figure out, I hadn't graduated yet. So I'm like, man, I just want to go spend time with kids. And I was a youth pastor for a couple years and like, hey, I'm going to go figure this thing out. I still thought maybe I should go back and play ball. I started my own baseball hitting and fielding kind of lessons and academy. It was called In the Big Inning. The big innings where it started but never ends. And had like 75 kids out here in the valley in Phoenix and quickly realized that, you know, just like data centers in some ways going away because of the cloud, it was like fields were going away quickly. I was forced to figure out, okay, hey, I got to do something different. I started my own marketing organization. It was called Endicott Creatives. Nothing creative about the name, but I had kind of a name out there already with some brands that I was helping, and quickly realized that I could outsource some work and get a lot of help. And so I created a team in the Philippines and had a couple project managers and started just doing biz dev work and creating, being an entrepreneur. Learned a lot from my grandpa. He passed away, I don't know, couple months ago, but was 99 and was really the guy that shaped me as far as business and entrepreneurship, and how to treat people and live in, you know, never, you never want a day to go by where you owe someone an apology, and just simple things in business and how to take care of customers. But that creative side of me, on that marketing side, I kept running into technology companies, and one was a global freight audit payment provider. And they approached me and said, "Hey, come and help us." And I was well behind the ears in the industry. I was really young, and I'm like, man, you know what? This will be great. They had a horrible SEO presence. They really didn't have a website. They, you know, we had just won a huge deal with HP, and they said, "Hey, you got to outsource 60%, and you have 6 months to do it." So we went, and I had already had that globalization kind of mind frame and mindset. And so we quickly opened an office in the Philippines, opened an office in Costa Rica, opened an office in Prague, and then in Air Scotland. So we had the global presence. Quickly realized that the supply chain world is big, and freight audit and payment is a teeny, 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 tiny piece. And it's the piece around the invoice. And it's like, man, I can't, you know, I've got scars too around just having discussions on how do you help your customers go solve problems when you just have invoice data. So I spent many years there helping them globalize and ended up taking over sales and marketing.
Hey, Nate, real quick. As you were expanding globally, give us an idea in terms of the time frame, because you know, nowadays it's probably a little bit easier to do that kind of stuff, but I get the impression this was a few years back when it was more challenging.
I would say it was between 05 and 08, 07, 05 to 07, and it was hard to find good people. Obviously, just with my background in ministry in the nonprofit world, I'm like, hey, you know what, we're human beings and we all have our flaws, and human beings are, you know, messed up, and we're all wacky in our own ways. So let's go find some good people in each, you know, area. And so we went out and tried to find a kind of a general manager, you know, and a couple that had the same values that we shared from an executive team, and, you know, tried to help instill our values in them. And then they kind of knew everybody. So we tried to navigate the political side in each of those regions. And then try to just find good talent and good people. What we realized is a lot of our customers were in those areas, and in order to get that logistics mind frame and expertise, you kind of had to go and, you know, start hiring customers and people. And that's kind of how we kind of built those regions. But yeah, it was in a time where you were doing a lot of Skype calls, and, you know, bandwidth was bad, and it was hard to communicate, and people didn't have fluid hours. It was really very hard, you know, stops, and customer service wasn't the best back then. But yeah, so after globalizing that company, you know, I moved on to another opportunity where my dad always, you know, kind of told me, he said, "Nate, you know, go to the place, whatever you want to do in life in your next venture, go to the place that's doing it the best." And so I've kind of always put on that hat and go learn from the best. So if I was going to, you know, do podcasts, I'd probably come and sit in your backyards and hang out with your families.
Wow. But, that is an unpaid endorsement. Right? Thanks, Nate.
But no, thanks, Nate. I try to instill that in my kids and even in our culture at RateLinks. It's like, hey, look, you know, you guys have an awesome opportunity here, and we do feel in privileged of what we do. But being able to do that back then when I did it, I chose to go to another, you know, freight auto payment company that I thought was kind of on that forefront, and spent a couple years there. And I mean, I quickly realized that, you know, freight audit is dead. You know, it's like, you know, what's good about, you know, short paying an invoice and creating problems for the carrier and the customer? And it's like, there's no good in that. And how do you create an adversarial relationship? And it's like, hey, all this data's out here. How do we go leverage that? I then went and took another role, which was kind of like a part ownership role in a company that was based out of Europe. Had about a year and a half stint with them. I was the only guy in the U.S., won some big deals for them, and thought, man, let's open an operation here and we can do it. And then it kind of hit me. I woke up one day and I'm like, man, you know what? I need to stick to my core. I had just had our fourth and final kid, and he was going through heart surgeries. We found out that when he was a little boy, right in the euro, 28 weeks old, he had what they called aortic stenosis, but it was severe. And he needed to have something or he was going to die. And so we, by the grace of God and some data, and some smart guys that are super smart in Boston, they were able to do surgery on my son inside my wife's belly, basically save his life. So wow. Going through that
wow.
and trying to open up an operation in the U.S., I'm like, you know what, this I need to, you know, hit the reset, and I want one more reset. And so I remember waking up when I was in the Boston, and I woke up and had a couple emails from some RFPs that we had participated in. And basically it was one of those emails, as I know, Tim, we've all gotten, that says, you know, hey, thank you so much for participation, but we decided to go another direction. And every time you get that, you have a choice to either, you know, not respond or pick up the phone and try to still engage with the relationship. And I've always thought I'm going to engage. So I picked it up, and they had gone with Rate Links. And so I'm like, man, I got to figure something out. So I sit in the hospital, sent a LinkedIn message to Shannon Valancourt, our president. And I said, hey, I don't know if you check your LinkedIn, but if you do, I'd love to have a discussion. I'm at a critical point in my career, and I'm excited to go do something different. This is where I kind of feel like the freight audit world is at. I'm looking for, you know, a company that has a lot of data mindset, that's data first approach. And I recently lost a few deals to you. Can we talk? And he says that I'm the only guy he's ever responded to on LinkedIn. But he responded because I was in Phoenix and he wanted to open up an office in Phoenix. And so we talked. And so 2 days later, we spent, awesome. I don't know, a couple hours on the phone talking about the industry, talking about scars and just future mindset on, hey, how can we go build something if the industry's 10 years behind? What are we going to do? And so I think that was a moment in my career where I had to think about, do I want to just go be a part of something again? Or do we want to go be a part of something that's, you know, really a part of something? And so I hit that pause button. He flew me out to Madison and met with the other owner of the company, Frank, and hit it off. And I haven't looked back, but I think that was one moment in my career. And I've had many where I can always hear those mentors and those people that I've placed myself around kind of ask me that question. Hey, are you with the right people? You are who, you know, you become who you hang out with. You know, are you, you know, making strides mm-hmm. to become better, or are you just stagnant? And that was, I think, when I decided about 6.5 years ago when I joined Rate Links.
You know, Greg, there's so much to dive into. I thought we were doing something on the personal side, establishing the personal background with both Tim and Nate here. But the professional background is so a lot of contrast there between Tim's and Nate's. But you know what? The beauty of that is that in supply chain, especially supply chain in 2020, and we need a wide variety of skill sets, right? And mm-hmm. there's something for everybody in global supply chain. So I love, and Nate, I really appreciate your approach and kind of your journey and really how you shared it.
I had a pivotal moment there. Or two.
Agreed. Yeah.
And, right. I mean, you can't put in what God left out. I think that is an important recognition to understand what your gifts are.
That's right.
Right. And to roll with that, whatever it is, like you said, never stop trying to improve yourself.
Yeah. Yep.
But if you start with those core strengths, and you went back to that at some point as well, right? Yep. That sense of focus is important.
So what we want to do next, and by the way, Nate, really sorry to hear about your grandfather.
No, I appreciate it.
I'm sure there's several numerous conversations we could talk about, some of the lessons learned there, but we'll revisit that. But all the best to his family. Sounds like he lived a really full and rich life, and his legacy is alive and well. So, all right. So what we want to do next, Tim and Nate, is we want to dive into each of your organizations and what they do and your role, right? And then we're going to go into a really neat partnership between the organizations. But for starters, let's set the table a little bit more here. So Tim, starting with you, tell us about what Agilytics does.
Yeah, sure. You know, quite simply, I tell my friends, family, employees, we like to think of ourselves as the supply chain data scientists. Well, what does that mean, right? Is really connecting the dots between data, and operations, because you know, you see everyone will tell you just all the, you know, the data issues, you know, as data gets we get more and more from a volume perspective and variety and the big data challenges, it's just going to intensify. So being a company, a trusted advisor for our customers to be able to really enable them to leverage that data, you know, for true insights and making decisions, and getting more comfortable with those latest technologies, you know, as things do accelerate, which we know that they will. So bringing that domain expertise, both in supply chain data and IT, kind of together. I like to call it the supply chain unicorns group, because it is kind of like the jack of all trades. It's hard to find those skill sets in one person. So we do a tremendous amount of cross-training and staying on top of those technologies. And thankfully, we do have great partners and industry experts like yourselves on this call that really help facilitate that. And then really, you know, implementing, you know, best in class analytics for our customers, and then, you know, making sure that they can sustain those skills. So sometimes that's helping them build those teams, doing some of the heavy lifting up front on a variety of technologies, so that ultimately, you know, they're not beholden to us. They can kind of run on their own and grow, and then we can go and focus on more complex problems and keep all our young staff motivated and challenged and happy.
Mm. Work yourself out of a job.
Work ourselves out of a job, right?
Yep. Well, the supply chain unicorns team, the herd keeps getting bigger and bigger. Y'all have grown quite a bit, as evidenced with the four hires you've made here lately. As founder, president, CEO, where do you spend your time?
I am the chief psychiatrist. No, I'm just kidding. I think it's, you know, and Greg alluded to it on our last call. I mean, it's exciting to me as you're doing a little bit of everything. So it's always at the beginning of the day, okay, well, how do I put the first things first and then go tackle that, right? So, you know, and that changes, you know, from priorities on my time and even within the business, you know, kind of day to day. So kind of taking a step back and really focusing, you know, on that. If I err on one side, it's the people, just because I think building the right team, and if you treat your team right, and give them the tools that they need to do, you know, they'll go find the customers. Your customers will be happy. You know, you're learning, you're growing, they're helping each other learn, they're helping each other, you know, where allow you to kind of step away and get out of their way. And we've done a really good job, I think, of hiring really, really bright, hungry, you know, I would say that hungry, humble, and smart, right? The smart's a little bit of a given. Georgia Tech and schools like Georgia Tech do a lot of the hard work for us by, you know, making sure, but it also means emotional intelligence and, you know, and those types. So we focus on the soft skills, even more so than the hard technology skills. And then humble, super important, because if you get, you know, big egos and that completely kills it. You need to be open to new ideas and ideas. And then hungry, right? Making sure I take a hungry, really hungry person with less degrees and less experience any day of the week, right? What that fire, they have to be able to move fast. They have to move fast for our customers and seek out, you know, value. And that requires kind of that hungry work ethic and passion. So so yeah, most of my time is enabled to make, honestly, just making sure that they have what they need, and then connecting them to, you know, to the right certifications and right learning and right organizations where they can continue to learn. So then when our customers come to us and they expect us to, you know, understandably understand both the market and the technologies and what they're doing, that they can be confident that we're making the right decisions on and suggestions on their behalf.
Outstanding. And there's so much more there. But Nate, let's keep setting the table. Let's talk about rate leaks. You know, some of our audience may remember some of the recent episodes that we sat down with Shannon Valancourt and learned more about the model. But let's refresh our memory. What does rate leaks do, and where do you spend your time?
it's I think hard sometimes when someone comes up and says, hey, what do you guys do? Because there's a lot. And I think when you boil it down, we really help, you know, organizations ship, track, and pay less for freight. And we are a logistics technology, you know, and services company. And, you know, we have a TMS. We have freight audit and payment. And then we also one of the top providers in the track global track and trace world. And so I think, you know, it's trying to help organizations, you know, gather all this data. You know, you got to collect it, and then it's integrating all this data together, the shipping data, tracking data, invoice data, and then how do you help them, you know, go use it? But there's a lot of, we're data first company. So everything we do is really around data and helping our shippers, our customers leverage data to go impact the bottom line and go impact SG&A, go impact EBITDA. And it's, I think the three big areas that we typically help customers around is, you know, cash, service, and cost. And I always like to sit down and have that conversation with them, because if you really ask them, you know, peel back the onion and it's, you know, make it personal. Our best customer is someone that comes to us that has pain, not just looking for a product. Because if you don't fix the right problem at the right spot, you're going to get replaced. And so we have, I think we've lost one customer in the history. I think one of the things that's good about what we're able to do is help them drive the, you know, and understand that we can impact, you know, their bonus in some ways. And so a lot of our trans logistics supply chain chiefs, you know, supply chain officers that have latched on, you know, to RateLinks, you know, always are sending us thank you notes and, hey, I appreciate it. Cause they really do. They take you, you know, customers that like you, they take you wherever you go, and they don't miss their bonus because they're leveraging data in the right way.
It's a powerful incentive for sure.
It is.
I love how some of the interlap between the two organizations and what you do is really, you know, that powerful spotlight to provide visibility in many ways, which is, you know, it's been the rage for years. It will be just a bigger emphasis based on the 2020 challenges moving forward, but also making sure it's the right data, it's accurate data. You know, all the data sources are playing nice in the sandbox. So many critical elements there that allow organizations to move faster. And Nate, as you put it, ship, track, and pay less for freight. I love simplicity is such an underrated quality in 2020. All right. So Nate, one final question about you and RateLinks before we talk about this pretty exciting partnership is, where do you spend your time?
Yeah. I mean, I head up sales and alliances. And so I get to spend most of my time on that side, also the marketing side, but helping customers and our client engagement teams, you know, get the most value out of, you know, our solution. Again, the KPIs and metrics that we provide to our customers are helping them, you know, impact business in such a way that it means something to them personally too. So it's, you know, from the front of the sale all the way through. And on the alliance side, just helping our partners, which we're obviously excited about the Agilytics partnership, but helping our partners gain the most value out of our solution as well. And so I spend most of my time on, you know, the sales side, and then just as important as the partnership side, as that's a big piece of, you know, our revenue and where we're going in the future.
Love it. All right. So let's talk about RateLinks and Agilytics, Greg. There's some big news here, right?
Yeah, I'm dying to know. I mean, what kind of leverage these two companies together creates, right?
It's like Wonder Twin powers activate.
I was thinking that exact same thing.
All right. So Tim, let's go back to you. So tee things up. How are we going to be working together here?
Yeah, I think, you know, from Agilytics perspective and just for, you know, quick context, when we, you know, got our start, it was very much visibility. You know, how do we use better visualization and dashboards and real-time alerts to manage our DCs or our transportation network, you know, combined with some of the things we're doing in, you know, planning and design. And, you know, now I think there's an opportunity because, you know, there's blurring of responsibilities of functions within the supply chain, and that's breaking down barriers and walls for those teams to work together. There's blurring of responsibilities across IT and operations, and that combined with everything we talked about in data, is now is a really good time to really focus in on how do we truly provide better end-to-end visibility with the technology, the availability of the data. And what really the one area was, hey, let's look for a partnership that already gets, you know, real-time updates, has relationships with carriers to get the speed of implementation and speed to value that our customers are really looking for, right? So how do we sidestep some of the bureaucracy, some of the slowdown, some of the getting access to the data and tap into with the company? So provided their technology, their relationships, their data, combined with our solutions expertise and getting insights from that data, combining it with inventory and order demand and all the other types of data elements that we pull and aggregate and cleanse and harmonize for our customers. It's like a match made in heaven, because now we can go to a customer and say, hey, well, what is a control tower, right? It's the ability to, you know, to sense, to get the right data, to, you know, to get it in one place, to enable advanced mathematics and things like prediction and, you know, what to do next. But if you talk to any of those customers, their challenge is always data. The second thing is that RateLinks, you know, in talking with different companies that have had challenges in the transportation visibility space, it usually comes down to one of two things that I see, and I love you guys' opinion. One is the carrier onboarding process, right? So having done that with carriers and having those relationships in place. The second thing is data quality is, hey, we implemented this and we're not trusting the insights and the ability and talking with Shannon and Nate and knowing that data quality is number one on their list and they get it and that's where their focus is, you know, made us feel comfortable that, hey, this is a good partnership with our combined, you know, focus and obsession. I'll even go as far as to say obsession with ensuring data is clean and relevant and timely. So to enable all the other things customers want to do, because without that, you're hosed before you get started.
Yeah, and that is critical, right? I mean, right now, one of the biggest issues in the industry for accomplishing what your clients, your joined clients are trying to do is the availability of data or the timeliness of that data.
All right. So Tim did a very nice job setting the table there, Nate, about the partnership. But what would you add from RateLink's perspective?
Now, why did you do business with this guy?
I kept seeing him in the, you know, the gym at all the Marriott's and eating healthy breakfasts. So I'm like, he definitely understands data quality and the need for speed. So, no, I think, you know, one thing that, you know, a partnership just to have a partnership is a waste of a partnership. It's a waste of time. And Shannon and I have always, you know, from a vision strategic standpoint, we always want to partner with guys that it's a lasting partnership and it's truly solving a spot in the market that is helping, you know, customers. And I think one of the things that it's just known out there, and it's one of the reasons why I went to RateLinks, it's one of the reasons why we've partnered, is, you know, I think what COVID done, but also just business as business. I mean, people go and source and procure, you know, a TMS, then they procure a freight audit payment provider, and then they procure a or source a tracking provider. And there's three different silos, none of which really actually go and fix the true root cause issue of data. Right. And then you have this whole left side, you know, the order demand and inventory and all this other data, and it's all out there. And it's people throw, you know, people at problems and when there's a computer. And so it's like, if you can eliminate exceptions and you can drive people to focus, I just think companies have realized that, you know, having data silos has crippled their decision making. And I think that's, you know, why I'm really excited about this partnership. And I know that we've talked about it on the last call, but, you know, what the data quality brings, and it's really the uniqueness of RateLinks, I believe, is, you know, being able to deliver accurate, complete, and timely data. And with that, and Tim's team and what they're doing, bringing all this together, you know, you don't have to go buy a $2 to $5 million, you know, control tower hub that's got all these different apps in it. And the days for, you know, a time to value, a quick ROI are now. And going and hitting your initiatives is now. And how do you do that now? And that's why we're excited about partnering, bringing them into our customers, us going to their customers, and then together what we're going to be able to do. Because this whole control, you know, big data was a big word back then, a big buzz. And it's like people talking about, like, you know, lowercase data, little tiny data. So it's, how do we, you know, quickly help organizations go out and impact their bottom line and give them invisibility to be able to go make decisions and then be able to, I think, measure and monitor what they're doing so that they're not having to, you know, go out and spend months and months to develop, you know, some modeling exercise. Or it's, you know, how do you bring that, you know, time to value shortened? Because it's, you got to quickly, hit repeat. And you want to make sure that you know the unintended consequences before you go make any business decision that's going to impact potentially your job.
You know, you are preaching to the choir, especially to one Greg White. Greg, I know one of the things you love talking about is how the days have largely gone for the, you know, 24-month implementations of technology. So based on what you heard Tim and Nate share, Greg, about this partnership and about what it will add to the market and their clients, what stands out to you?
Well, so I have my own idea, but I would love to pose this question to you all first. So put on your Socrates hats and think philosophically, because as I was having this discussion, or as you were each sharing your part, I was thinking, what would my reaction be? What would I hope to accomplish with this joined effort of the two of you? So I'd love to pose that question to you. What do you hope is happening back at your customers' headquarters or offices based on what you two have put together here? I mean, I know you expect them to be cursing joyfully, but I mean, what result and what feeling, what sense of relief, what pains relieved do you hope that they're getting out of this?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So I would say, you know, if our customers, at least the direct relationships that we have, probably here, you know, are probably sick of hearing me tell them that there's an easier way and getting them, you know, to that, to that next step. I think that they would say, you know, there's still a lot of work to be done because, you know, there's still a lot of companies out there that really have very separate transportation groups, very separate inventory groups, very, you know, separate sales organizations and marketing, some of what are coming together. And there's been huge strides, right, to bring that together. One of the things that I think is really where it's going to become very known, obviously COVID helped a lot with that, understandably, because a lot goes into, you know, trying to figure out what's the best path to take after something like COVID changes our demand completely, right? And how we service that demand differently. The second thing is I would look to traditional processes, right, like S&OP, S&OE, SIOP, total cost to serve, any problems you're trying to solve that require, you know, if you think about freight and inventory and marketing and merchandising, working together and need their data, and that's expanding more and more of those use cases, are going to be like, oh shoot, this could be a really cool partnership because we're bringing together best in class trans visibility with inventory. And how do you make decisions without that? How do you sit in an S&OP meeting and not take vendor lead time into consideration and understand transportation? Else you're just kind of guessing, right? So bringing that all together is going to increase the accuracy of the data. And it's very difficult to do with one platform. because it's a most of those markets are extremely fragmented, you know, and Greg, we talked about that, is don't get me wrong, there's best in class solutions in each of those areas, you know, but who's helping to bring that together to make those holistic decisions, you know, across the supply chain. It's not going to be one specific vendor that's focused on an area, right?
You can't be the merchandising guy pointing the finger at the logistics guy who's pointing the finger at the inventory guy. You've got to break down those silos, not just do that, but also create more than just communication, but collaboration and back and forth information that allows each to improve the other's practice.
Nate, what's your take? What are your customers, what are they going to be singing the praises of when it comes to this new partnership?
Yeah, I mean, I get excited for our customers around just the forecasting side. I mean, I think, you know, we typically are bringing in that trans freight data, that order shipment tracking and invoice. And everybody always asked us, you know, like, hey, can you bring in the inventory side? You know, how do you help us on the, you know, demand planning or, you know, order demand? And it's like, you know, this now enables us to be able to extend ourselves to, you know, be able to collaborate them and with them and solve a problem. And it's, we always are asking them, you know, hey, why do you want to do this? What problems it solve? And they need to tell us, it needs to be their idea. And then we're going to come around and put our capes on and help them. I think to the, you know, the rest of the industry, you know, if you think about it, you know, everyone's got a TMS, you know, they do, they have one, they're doing it some way, shape or form. So to go in and try and sell a big global TMS project, you know, those days in some ways are gone too. And it's like, hey, why do you go, you don't need to go and invest in a buffet when all you want is salad, no dressing. And, you know, one of the things that
we need, you know, a t-shirt printing machine.
I got them coming, man. But at TMS data, it's 25 to 50% of your spend. That's based off of that. And how do you measure and monitor, you know, your decisions, you know, or your models when it's based off of that? And so it's like, I'm excited to bring all that data together. You know, all this data lake stuff, I mean, we were at the lake, you know, 2 weekends ago, and my cousin-in-law said, hey, so what do you guys do? And it was in a lake called the Watson Lake in northern Arizona. Oh, and yeah, you can't swim in it because it's got too much mercury. And I'm like, man, how do I explain this to him? He's a firefighter in Louisiana. So I'm like, we're kayaking through it. And I'm going, you know what? See all this crap every time we're, you know, canoeing and kayaking and we take a stroke and there's crap on, you know, the end. You can't see where you're going. And we basically just clean all that up, make it swimmable, where you know where you're going, you know where, you know, you can go to, you can jump in and see what's going on and quickly identify, you know, if there's a shark around or, you know, if someone says, hey, what's around the corner, you can dive in and look at it. And in some ways, I'm like, that's kind of what we do. We just clear all this up and make it usable lake so that you can leverage it. And I think, you know, the industry has been waiting for a time to value of 90 days or less. And the days of going and having to ask for capital of millions of dollars of projects to go deliver no ROI is done. They're looking for trusted partners. And that's, you know, what I get excited about is that, you know, Tim's got he's got a credible presence in this industry. People respect him. And in the same way, we have a lot of, you know, 380 plus customers that, you know, are looking for a way to impact more. And so we get excited about what's to come. You know, we have a webinar coming up October 6th, too, that's exciting.
Let's talk about that for a second. Y'all both mentioned control towers earlier in the conversation. And I got to tell you, building a control tower in 30 days or less is impressive. So Tim and Nate, let's talk about what folks are going to learn on that webinar. So Tim, you want to start?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. And Nate, you can please feel free to add. So what I'd like to accomplish or for the webinar is people to, you know, to understand is, you know, if you talk to any customer, you know, they have unique requirements and they'll tell you again and again that we're unique in our requirements. And I think there's some underlying truth to that, right? The way that they do in build. And, you know, unfortunately, I think the market has kind of tried to put all of customers into a box, right? So you think about the large ERPs and, you know, here's how we're going to do it. And you're going to conform. If you want to change, it's going to be a customization that's going to take X amount of time. So everything that we do, how do we shrink, as Nate said, shrink down that time frame? Well, it starts with, okay, what KPIs are we defining? So we're going to select, you know, 10, you know, call it 5 to 10 of their key KPIs, understand upfront before we even get in the door how they're calculated, how they measure those, what systems we go after, and then come up with a very succinct strategy to move that onto, you know, a consolidated front and layer in all of the freight data that Nate's team already gets from those carriers, right? That they can get direct from the source with, of course, the customer's permission, and really just start going and be clear that, hey guys, at the end of 30 days or an extended 90 days, you're going to get more than just a PowerPoint presentation from us that tells you what you should do. You're going to have a living, breathing solution that you can get started with, right? And it's bite small, chew fast. What can we get? Are we going to get every single KPI that we can possibly do, and every source in 30? No, of course not. Because if you're a company, you're always going to be growing and changing. But what you want is to give them enough value to be able to start making decisions, you know, across their disparate data, so they can kind of see, you know, how we can get value that quickly, which I think will be industry changing.
Yeah, I mean, what I would add to that is just around, you know, the three buckets of cost, service, and cash. And it's like, hey, where are you focused? You know, everyone's trying to build these data lakes. They've been doing it for months and months and months and years, and they've invested so much time and energy and money. And it's like, hey, look, you're a retailer. Stick to making clothes. You know, or you're a manufacturer of pool supplies. Man, just stick to pumps. You know, like don't. And it's like, hey, we've outsourced this. And what they realize is you absolutely can go do this on your own. It's very expensive. And now with, you know, cloud services, you know, it makes it a little cheaper, but it's the maintenance of it all. It's like things change. You know, a rate change, you know, and it's like, hey, where are you going to update that? And it's got to be updated in all these places, and all that impacts this. So for us, you know, the way that we go and integrate to carriers, I mean, I think, you know, this morning we had I'm thinking of a customer in my head just that kind of goes to potential this partnership. But, you know, they've been struggling with real-time track and trace and connecting to carriers and data quality issues and invoice side. And what took 9 months to go and try to figure out and spend a lot of money on, you know, it's taken us, what, 4 business days to go connect to these carriers. And we've already showed them, hey, this is how we can go fix these data quality issues. And so it let's face an integrated data quality issues, as, you know, Tim's talked about and what we've talked about, is we're going to go and integrate this data. We're going to help, you know, be able to point some, you know, things out, turn on some KPIs and kind of point them in the right direction. But we can absolutely light these things up very quickly. And, they can keep focusing on strategy and how they can impact the business versus getting so close to doing it. And then when they go do it, the data's out of date, and then they got to go do it all over again. And they still are, you know, have that, you know, garbage in, garbage out mentality.
Got to let the experts be the experts, right? And, yeah. And you can move a lot faster. Greg, I know you got a comment here.
So many. One, Tim, congratulations. You added from last week, I know we're crediting you for last week, but you added your t-shirtism, bite small, chew fast.
Yes.
I wanted to stop you when you said, but you were grooving, so I didn't want to mess that up. But I want to repeat, you will have more than a PowerPoint in 30 days, right? You'll have a resolution. And I think that is important. That needs to be said frequently and loudly and repeatedly, because that is the difference in what this partnership and cloud solutions and modern technology can and does deliver versus the old way. More than a PowerPoint in 30 days.
Well, I think to that point, Greg.
Man, I wish I had thought of that when I was selling it.
It's one of the things that's frustrating, you know, from our side, you know, we're not, you know, we got a name rate links. We've been around since 2002, never needed VC money. And it's like Tim's, you know, it's like, hey, we're, you know, one of my favorite movies of all time is Hoosiers, you know, and it's, I love those, you know, it's like, hey, you don't count on them, but man, they are going to rise to the occasion and they're going to deliver. And it's like these Cinderella stories. And I think the, you know, the whole thing, like with us, you know, a lot of guys probably think, you know, I can't get fired if I go choose them, Nate. It's like, yeah, but you can hit your bonus, you know, and measure and monitor if you, you know, choose this Agilinx thing. And I think that, you know, people will realize what's taken them years. It can be sped up and now they can go focus on it. But, you know, the other t-shirt thing, which, you know, that drowning in data and starving for information is one. And then the other one is, you know, with data quality, you can now digitize, you know, you can digitize the decision-making. And I think there's just so much good stuff that comes from the potential partnership, you know, the partnership itself and the potential opportunities that customers have to actually do something instead of just resting, investing, because those days I think are long gone.
Well, especially now those kind of things have been exposed. Look, amen. You may not lose your job by picking, you know, big player X, but you could lose your company, and it's happened plenty.
Yeah, absolutely.
So October 6th for the webinar, make sure that we're real clear on that. We're going to include the direct registration link in the show notes of the episode. Come learn from the folks that are doing it, how to stand up a control tower in less than 30 days and get more than a PowerPoint, as Greg said. Love that. And Greg, well, let's make sure our audience knows how to connect with Tim and Nate and their respective organizations.
Yes, Tim. Guys, tell us how folks can connect with you.
And it's a great question. And you know, and I know it's normal to send to the website. And my goal over the next, you know, several months too, is to make our website much more of an interactive. And I love what you guys are doing, you know, with Supply Chain Now and going for getting material and video and easily searchable. I'd like to kind of give that a similar type experience to our customer base and make it a place where they can go and pose questions about control towers and digital twin, right? There's so much noise and confusion. So long answer, but our website will be good and you have my commitment. It'll be more interactive as we move forward. We just launched a forum for that. And then the other thing is, I think the whole demo market and, you know, as you mentioned, Greg, PowerPoints are great, but I don't think people have the attention span to look through a 90 slide deck anymore, right? So how do we put examples right on our website so you can go and click on the on dashboards, get a look and feel of how everything's working and how it would work for your business, I think is going to be you know, kind of a good thing. So website and LinkedIn, you know, at Agilinx, you know, and all social media, but LinkedIn is probably where we're most active.
You on LinkedIn as well, Tim?
Yep. Oh, and me personally. Yeah. Sorry, Tim. Yeah. Tim.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. Tim, it's Jones. The toughest question in the world, isn't it?
It is. Tim, I love how you talk about, you know, really engaging folks that reach out and sounds like you're all willing to compare notes and have those whiteboard discussions and just talk practitioner to practitioner, which is so valuable. It always has been, but in these days, especially as everyone's kind of, there's less access, folks, you know, there's not the events, you know, there's less avenues for that. So I love that approach there. All right, Nate, let's make sure folks can connect with you and with RateLinx.
Absolutely. You can find me on LinkedIn, connect, love to connect. We're always one or two connections away, I think, from anybody in this industry. It's a small industry, but a big world. And for RateLinx as well, we have a LinkedIn. Come follow us and get the just kind of our take and our blogs and our vlogs and everything that we're putting out there. And then our website, www.ratelinx.com. And
links with there's an a lot X, of, right?
RateLinx with an X. And there's a lot of opportunities to just do connect with us, talk to a pro, do some free analysis, but absolutely we are there and looking forward to connect.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Greg, I tell you, this conversation here, you could power a city block with the amount of passion from these two gentlemen in this episode, right?
Yeah, I think what's really powerful about this is the transformation there. I said it. Okay. Bingo. It is the power of transformation here. It's the power of the wealth of data and a mechanism to build it. And we're not talking about rookies here either, right? This is a new age solution by two groups of professionals who've been in the industry for a while. They get it. And they also get the new age of data and solutions. And that's a rare, rare combination. You have so many companies that have the kind of level of experience that all of us here have that are stuck in the past. And these groups see the future. They're building the future. They're doing it right now. And that is incredibly powerful stuff. So, you know, RateLinks, right? Only took them 18 years to become an overnight success, right? That's not uncommon, in fact. So it's funny because, Nate, I heard that several times around, I don't know, 2014, 2017. Man, you guys are an overnight success. I'm like, yep, just 9 years to overnight success, right?
Yep.
It's funny how long it takes to build that. And by the way, if you ever doubt that, look at how long some companies were around.
Oh, yeah.
We learned about them, Uber and others. Yep. So great work, good sustained solutions, experienced professionals with a future vision. It's brilliant.
Love it. All right. So want to thank Tim and Nate. Tim Judge, President CEO with Agilytics, and Nate Endicott, Senior Vice President of Global Sales and Alliances at RateLinks. Another great discussion. As much fun as we have with the live stream, really enjoyed this deeper dive here, Tim and Nate. Thanks so much for your time here today.
Thanks. You too, Scott. Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right. So, hey, to our audience, hopefully you enjoyed this conversation with these gentlemen as much as we have. Don't forget the October 6th webinar.
Yeah.
We'll include that link, make it easy. Greg, you get the final word before we sign off here.
Well, first of all, Tim's office is near one of my favorite barbecue restaurants on the planet. And Nate is in my wife's hometown. So I'm going to go visit these guys at some point. Look, this is, as I said, this is a really important thing. We're breaking through in an industry that desperately needs it. We're breaking down silos. Nate said it well early on, right? Stay in your lane, know what your gifts are. And that is true. And I'm sure that they are seeing, like so many of us across the industry are seeing, that retailers and other shippers, they are staying in their lane. They know what they're good at. They're good at merchandising and sales and marketing and assessing the consumer. And they're letting other organizations handle those aspects of the business that really need deep, deep expertise. And they're doing it with solutions that are much, much easier and quicker and more reliable to implement and grow on.
Well put, as always. And hey, Freight Audit is dead. And if you have any questions around that, reach out to Tim and Nate and they'll explain exactly why and why it should be.
This episode needs its own merch.
That's right.
No. Let's do it.
Hey, we can do it.
To our audience, thanks so much for tuning in. Gosh, so much, so many t-shirt-isms, but more importantly, so much thought and been there, done that right here. As Greg says, the future is now. And so hopefully you enjoy the conversations as much as we have. On behalf of our entire team here at Supply Chain Now, including Greg White, this is Scott Luton. Thanks so much for tuning in. Find us and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. Hey, do good, give forward, and be the change that's needed. And on that note, we'll see you next time here on Supply Chain Now. Thanks, everybody.